Thanks for the nice warm welcome. In every way, very warm. I'll be glad to get back home to Scotland on Monday and experience some snow and wind, cold. Perhaps in some ways we'll be glad of that. Last time I think I was as hot as I am today was in India. When in the south of India the temperature reached something like 120 Fahrenheit. It's very hot that day as well. However, it's good to be among the Australians. Though in the midst of the Australians, one is constantly finding folks with a Scottish background and lineage, and we're always delighted to meet those from the old country. I was interested in what dear brother Laurie said there about being 16 when something happened to him inside. But I want to speak to you tonight about a young man who, when he was 16, did a wonderful work for God. He's perhaps one of the most remarkable young men in the Bible. And I'm encouraged, as I read my Bible, to discover what God is able to do through young men, and the young women, of course, too. God has always been pleased to raise up young people and to see them really motivated for himself and in action for God. We'll read a few verses from the second book of Chronicles, if you have your Bible with you, from chapter 34. And we'll read about the young man who was called Josiah. His name means Jehovah supports. God indeed supported him in his life and work. We'll read a few verses from this chapter. We won't read the whole chapter, but we'll pick up something of the trend of the story of his life, reading from verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. The reason for that was that his father, Amon, had been assassinated by the palace guard. Assassinations that we see on our television screens to presidents and to world leaders, whether it be Sadat or Reagan or others, is not something new. It's happening all down through the generations. And Josiah's father, Amon, who was a godless young man, was assassinated. And so Josiah assumed the throne when he was only a boy of 8. He reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. That means that he was killed, and fortunately, when he was 39, got himself involved in a tangle and a war that he should never have been involved in. But that was the untimely death. We're thinking more of his life tonight. Verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. Not his immediate father, of course. David going right back through the lineage. And he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, that means he was 16. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the groves, the carved images, and the molten images. So we could read on, write down these verses to verse number 7, of the work of demolition, the work of removing, the work of tearing down, the work of having to eliminate from the nation the idolatry that had come in the years previous. His grandfather was a man called Manasseh. Perhaps he was the longest reigning king in Judah. Manasseh reigned for 55 years. He was a godless monarch, and he led the people into sin and into idolatry. And the background of the nation at the time when Josiah came to the throne was one of spiritual death and bankruptcy. Now, verse 8, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoash, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. The next step in his work was to get the house of God functioning again. The interesting feature there, as we come down the verses, is to discover what they found when they were repairing the house of God. Verse number 15. Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. They have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. They had a good building fund going in order to get the structure back into functioning working order. And they put the work into responsible hands, and they indeed, in their stewardship of the whole operation, were so diligent in how they handled it. Verse 18, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. He rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ithiah, the servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, to do after all that is written in this book. And so what they had to do was to go to Jerusalem, and they found a very godly woman, who was in touch with God, who was able to interpret for them the meaning of the message contained in the scroll of the book. Very interesting just to hear her response as she sends the messenger back. Let's just catch it as she says, verse 26, as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee. Also, saith the Lord, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. The end of the chapter takes us to the king bringing the nation to the temple. And he would have a national holiday, and he would bring to the people of his day the book that he had found, and he would read it to them and make application of it in their lives. Jim Elliot, the young missionary who died at the age of 28 on Palm Beach in Ecuador, he was only a young man when he wrote the words, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain, what he cannot lose. Some of the writings, the finest writings of Jim Elliot, were indeed written when he was a young man, discovering for himself the will of God for his life. I have discovered in my reading of missionary biographies that some of the greatest men that God ever had were young men who died early in life. One of the greatest Scotsmen who ever lived and served God, and his name is still with us today, is a man called Robert Murray McShane. He was a Presbyterian minister in Dundee, and he saw mighty revival in his day. He was 29 when God took him home. His life's work completed. The quality of his life was such that they're still talking about what McShane was able to do way back in the year 1745. If we read the life story of David Brainerd, a young man who was prepared to give up everything, including his fiance, including a life of union with the woman that he loved, to go to the Indians of America. There, at 32 years of age, David Brainerd was called home. It is said of Brainerd that his life has been of such value and has made more impact than any other man in missionary service. Henry Martin, who came to India, was 30 years of age when God called him home. By that time, he had translated the New Testament into different languages in some of the other countries that he had visited. So we could go on. Colin Tilsley, 46 years of age, still relatively speaking a young man who gave the best of his life to God and to God's service. Josiah. Let us just think about Josiah for a few moments. I've always been intrigued with the study in the Kings. Fascinating, intriguing reading to read the story of the Kings in Israel and in Judah's history. In the nation in the south, which was divided after Solomon's reign, thereafter running throughout the whole of the Old Testament, you have two kingdoms. You have the kingdom in the north, called Israel, the 10 tribes mainly, and the kingdom in the south, forming the 2 tribes, Benjamin and Judah. And in the 2 tribes, throughout their history, there were many worthless kings raised up. Only 8 were good kings. 4 of them exceptional. 4 who failed, but had indeed qualities that could be admired. The last of the good kings, before the nation was finally taken into captivity by the Babylonians, was this young man called Josiah. Contemporary with Josiah, of course, was another outstanding young prophet called Jeremiah. Jeremiah was only a youth when God called him. And his immediate response to God was, "What can I do? I can't say anything, I'm only a child." God says, "I'll anoint your lips, and you'll speak the message I'll give you." Jeremiah grew up to be an outstanding prophet. God touched his life when he was still only a young man. Josiah had nothing going for him as far as his background was concerned. His grandfather was godless. His father was no better. But this young man had such a determination about his life that when he was 16, he made the most vital decision that would affect not only his own life, but the life of the nation. He turned to seek after God when he was 16. And these crucial years are so vital in young people's experience. I want just tonight to lay before you, very simply, the 3 priorities that Josiah had in his life. And I would like us to think about these priorities and take them to heart. First of all, and we don't give them in any order of progression, but with an equal emphasis upon them all, Josiah had an involvement in God's work from his earliest days. Secondly, Josiah had an interest in God's word. Not only an involvement in the work of God, but an interest in the word of God. And thirdly, he had the intent to do the will of God. For when he discovered what God was saying to him through the scroll, he said, "We must find out what the will of God is for us in this matter." You think of the background that he took the throne, just a boy. We would hardly have anybody here tonight who's 8. There's a wee fellow back there with a blue t-shirt. He might just be a little older than 8. But can you imagine a boy of that size being king and having a cabinet around him, counselors, older men who would maintain the administration? But at 16, Josiah comes to these men and he says, "You know, things are going to be different. This nation that's been on the slide for years is going to change, and I'm going to change it under God." And Josiah instigated one of the greatest revivals in the time of Israel and Judah's history. He was like John Knox and John Calvin. Josiah was a reformer. He had, of course, to apply himself to a great deal of work, demolishing and removing the shrines and the altars that had been raised up in the idolatry of the nation. And it took him 5 years to do that. Before he could see anything really worthwhile built for God, he had to see the things removed that would hinder and would be in competition to all that God stood for. Josiah found himself deeply involved in this work, the work of God. In Christian experience, I have discovered in my own life that the greatest thrill that we can possibly have is to be involved in God's work. We have far too many Christians who are living as fringe Christians. And somehow out there on the perimeter of Christian experience and work, many seek just to have a foothold and no more. And they have no real enjoyment, no real thrill, no real sense of purpose because they're not involved. And what we need today is men and women and young people to be involved in God's work. My impression of Australia, and I say this to you frankly tonight, is that there seems to be a great emphasis on materialism and the work of getting richer. And somehow God's work is left aside. And we give ourselves and our energy and all that we have to our own personal pursuits. May God help us to have a deep involvement in his work. I didn't stay. Just to say this, that once Josiah really got moving, got the temple brought back into functioning order, because one couldn't even in a public meeting describe the conditions morally of the people of that day and the priests of that day. And he had to seek to re-establish God's standards. He began a building program and he began a building fund that the people willingly gave to. And he appointed workmen and he put it in the hands of overseers who indeed diligently paid attention to the stewardship. And in the process of the repairing of the house, two of the men found the scroll that had been left and had been untouched and unread for years. And Shaphan said to Hilkiah, "Look what I found." And it was indeed one of the scrolls of the law from the time of Moses. And he took it to the king and he read it in the king's presence. And Josiah was greatly affected by the word that he heard. He rent his clothes. He wept as he appreciated all that God was saying to him through his word. And Josiah strikes me in this chapter and in these verses in particular as a man who had an interest in the word of God. He was prepared to listen. He didn't rebuff Hilkiah and say, "Hilkiah, listen, I'm no interested in this scroll that you found. Let's go on with the work." He sat down and he listened to what Hilkiah had to read. And he was a man who had an interest in the word of God. And if we're going to see anything done for God, it will be in the measure in which we have an interest in this word. We'll need to, again, recapture, if we've lost it, an appetite for the word of God. A love to hear God's word read and expounded and explained. We have too many Christians going on today involved in a round of activity without any real hunger for the word of God. We require to be touched by God's word. I ask my own heart the question, when last did the word of God affect me in such a manner? When last did I sit down broken through reading and listening to the word of God being read and explained? That was the kind of man Josiah was. So he said to his counselors, to his cabinet, he called an emergency cabinet meeting. He said, "Listen, we will need to take action. We will need to discover what the will of God is for our lives and for the nation." Thank God for godly women able to give counsel in these kind of situations. And he sent to Huldah, the prophetess, who was the keeper of the wardrobe. And so she was able to give an explanation and to send word back to the king of what indeed the will of God would be. And she gave to Josiah what the will of God would be for his life. One of the greatest experiences in Christian life is to discover what the will of God is for your life and to know what God intends you to do with your life. And what we need to do today is to be prepared to say, "Lord, where would you have me serve? What is your will for my life? Would you like me to stay in Australia? Would you like me to go into the continents of the world, whether it be India or Africa or to Europe or to Malaysia or wherever? Lord, what is your will for my life?" We need to search and inquire from godly counselors who are able to give us advice. Men who know God, who can indeed guide us in the way ahead for our own lives. Josiah was a young man who had great ability. He applied himself to the work of God, to the word of God, and to the will of God. I wonder, I ask my own heart tonight the question, are these the priorities that I have for life? Are these the most vital things in my life? God's work, God's word, God's will for my life. If it is, then God can use you in a mighty way. God can bring about, even in our day and generation, what he was able to do in Josiah's day. And he brought revival. God has been able to do great things through individual lives committed to himself. And as one would examine the great movements in Christian service and work, you will discover that you can trace them all back to one man.
Please turn the tape over at this point.
And as one would examine the great movements in Christian service and work, you will discover that you can trace them all back to one man. Whether it be the China Inland Mission, that at one stage had thousands of Christian workers working in that huge nation of China. Trace it back to a man called Hudson Taylor. God, under that man, was able to plant the vision for China in the hearts of many others. If we think about present-day work, think about Operation Mobilization, one of the greatest movements that would be in existence today in missionary work. That movement today has two ships sailing around the world, Logos and Doulos. And they have 1,500 people full-time in OM tonight. And that work can be traced back to a young rebel of an American who was converted under Billy Graham's preaching. I'm always amused at people who were very critical of Billy Graham's converts. That was one good one, George Verber. He was wonderfully converted, going along to a Billy Graham meeting in Madison Square Gardens one night only. God saved him that night. And from there on, God used him. And with two other young men, he went to Mexico with a van full of literature to give it away. And he caught the vision to mobilize young people. And he came over to the United Kingdom, and he went throughout Europe, and he has gone throughout the world. And he's been able to mobilize and motivate people into Christian work. In regards to the work that we are associated with, how we thank God tonight for what God has been able to do through one man. We think of Colin Tilsley. We think of the hundreds who have been involved in Christian service throughout the world tonight because of GLO. And because God was able to do something through one man. You might just be a young person here tonight and saying, what could God do through me? I tell you, it's unlimited what God could do. If, like Josiah, you're prepared at 16 or whatever age you may be to seek after God and God's ways and give yourself wholeheartedly in God's work. I'm here tonight because of Colin Tilsley. I'm involved in God's work full time and have been for the past 7 years. Again, because of his influence in my life, and many others could testify to the same, his personal influence and challenge has indeed motivated us into Christian service under the good hand of the Holy Spirit. And I've come to Australia for 6 weeks. These 6 weeks are just about ended. We go back home on Monday. It's been a great experience for me to come to see something of what God is doing through GLO here in Australia. I've also visited New Zealand. I've been able to see what God is doing there. And I've been able in a little measure to share with our fellow colleagues the side of the work that I'm involved in Europe. And I trust that tonight, as we look at some of these slides, that we might be able to plant in your heart a vision of Europe in all its need. There are 14 million people in Australia, and there are great needs for Christian workers to be involved in reaching Australians. But the world is much larger than Australia. There are nations tonight in the world with vast numbers of people, and indeed people who've never heard yet the name of Jesus. We need to be open to the challenge of missionary service. And I would like to ask each one tonight, are you available for God to use you, for God to take you anywhere in the world for Him?